Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join our guest speaker with today's message.
I rejoice today over the miracle. Isn't this just miraculous and wonderful what God has done in this little country place out here in the middle of absolutely nowhere? And I think back about how prayer has seeded everything. When I got right with Jesus, long time ago, when I got right with Jesus, and I gave up that old flesh, not that I don't fight it every day, but I made that decision that I was going to change because I wanted a different husband. The one I had just was... If he had ever gone to the same movies that I went to, he would know better how to do it, you know? I wanted what they had in the movies. I wanted the make-believe. It was amazing what my husband, once I surrendered, became to me. It was amazing. Thank God I couldn't sway my husband. Now, I had a tough one. And thank God he stayed in with me till this little flitting around butterfly could be channeled, could learn to hear from God, surrender, and could help my husband to be who he was. My husband is the one who, you know, I'd hear from God and then he'd make it happen. So I honor my precious husband today. We pray for Diane. I didn't even know that Steve, I just heard today that Steve had gone to be with Jesus. We pray for her today as I understand what that certainly is like. But I'm telling you, there's a place in the Lord that sees you through. It's miraculous. It is miraculous. And there, we know other, many of us here who've experienced many things, and we know that. Let me tell you just a little bit about Tim, because I don't get this opportunity, and I may not get to speak again for 2 or 3 years. And so I'm going to take this opportunity to say what I want to, because he's not here. Tim was a very aggressive child. If you have one, just hang on and stay in there and whoop them and make them, you know, win. You have to win. You have to win over those children. The thing that I think was probably the biggest influence in Tim's life, besides all that I tried to do, all that a mother tries to do and a father that we tried to do for Tim, he was surrounded by godly young men. I just had him stay in our house. I mean, young men who were just a little bit older than Tim. One was the youth pastor, and one was a wonderful worship leader. One was a great teacher. There were 4 or 5 of them, and now they're around in the world doing great things. I mean, they're the kind that have stayed in there. They had the real thing. And they lived in our house. And they were a great influence. And I want to encourage not only our children, not only the young people here and the children, but who you're around does affect you. It just does have great effect on you. And so I watched over my kids, all 3 of them. I watched over them carefully to make sure that they had the right friends. The right friends, and they didn't go spend the night with people. People spent the night with us. People spent the night with us. I remember maybe a small handful of times when my kids ever spent the night with someone else, and they were people that I knew was okay. But you got to watch over them, and you got to feed them. Tim, I had him at meetings where Catherine Kuhlman, some of you are so young you don't remember her. She was a great woman of God, and people just get healed of cancer, and they'd just throw their wheel, and for real, we were there. We stood in line from 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock when the doors opened wherever we, some big city where she was speaking. Then over a period of time, I was blessed to sit up on the platform with her and speak at the same convention. But I took Tim to everything. I took all our kids. I took them where something good and where there was influence. You've got to make sure that your kids have the right influence. I have never asked Tim Brooks to take over this church. I've never asked him to be a preacher. I've never prophesied that he was going to be a preacher. I never did that. But I just held it in my heart, and other people prophesied over him. And other people shared with Tim. And I'm very, very grateful that the compelling vision that God put in my heart has been able to continue through our children and now through our grandchildren. They were all at the first service. And now through our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren. I got love letters from my great-grandchildren after the service this morning. And it was such a blessing. Your family is very important. And our church family is very important. You are so vital and so important, and I love connecting with you, you know. We've got our little things going all over the place as we connect with each other. Our special little, they're from Louisiana, and if you Arkansas people knew what that meant for us last night. So I told him I've been wanting him to shout all this time, and that last night he's shouting for the wrong team. The getter. I am so grateful that God would do something that was so big that I could never claim that I did it. I could never say, Tim can never say he's done this. The people, the men, the women, the families that have invested in this larger vision, it's overwhelming. I am overwhelmed. Now, for those of you who've come in the last some years, see, it's different for you. But this church started with 7 little people. And we were, our first meeting was up in the camp office, and that was just one time. But then the rest of the meetings were in my living room. And Tim got up every Sunday morning, my 3 children, Tim, Missy, and Rod, and turned all the furniture around. So Tim's got this church in his heart. He has this church in his heart because he helped to bring it to pass. And I am so grateful that children can be part of their parents' vision. I know lots of pastors and their children have never become part of the vision that has been given to their parents. So I'm really grateful for Tim and Terry, for our family. And I'm grateful when God compels us. And that's the word for today. Paul called Tamara, and she's on a trip up in Michigan or somewhere, and said, what's Hetty's title? She said, Paul, if she's got a title, it'll be a miracle. So she called me, and I said, Tamara, I don't have a title. I won't have that till I stand up there, probably. You know, I know. Well, anyway, the Lord woke me up and gave me the word compel. And so I really dug into that, and the word compel, what does it mean to be compelled? And there are places in the Bible where it talks about Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit. You see, there's compelling, and dictionary will tell you a parent can make their child or compel their child to make up their bed. You know, compelling can be somebody making you do something whether you want to or not. And, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, The New Living Translation I'll read is an urgency. You feel an urgency. And I thought, oh, the church, we need an urgency. I mean, can you believe that America right now has an opportunity for a rebirthing? We're talking about being born again. We can rebirth. But it's going to take prayer and lots of it. We thought, oh, we fasted, we prayed, we sought and sought and sought for somebody who wouldn't kill our baby, somebody who would have a strong defense, somebody who would, all these things that we prayed for. And our candidate, you know, was Osiris, if you read Cyrus over in the Old Testament. But we have an opportunity now, and I believe with all my heart that this next administration is going to be compelled by the Holy Spirit to rebuild America and make us the great nation under God once again. I believe that. I really believe that. All of those of you who labored out there in this election, out on the street, we had 55 from this church on the streets election day. Would y'all stand up and let us say thank you? You guys who just labored, everybody that labored for, y'all just stand up. Yay! Yay! How awesome! How awesome is that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Compelling. Now, the word itself will jack you up, will wake you up. The word itself will make you come alive because it is power. It is energy. It is motivation that is intense. After I got saved and told God I'd do anything, it wasn't about doing anything. It was about being somebody. I needed to be before I did. I just needed to become a wife and a good one. I determined whether John Wayne could ever love me back or not with all of his tough ways, you know. I determined I was going to love him. I'm going to make Don Brooks a success. I'm going to take care of these three dirty little old kids. I'm living in this little old house on this dirt road, and I'm going to knock it out. I got the real thing. See, the real thing is not when you get to be a great Bible teacher, or write a book, or cut a CD. It's not when you get rich. It's not when your wife straightens up, or your husband. It's not when these kids grow up. It's none of those things. When you come into the presence of God Almighty, and you submit to him, the kingdom, God's kingdom, comes into your heart. And you're happy right where you are doing whatever. I'm as happy whatever, wherever, whatever, whatever, whatever. I would hear the Apostle Paul said, I found whatever circumstance I'm in therein to be content. How can you say that? Surrender, giving up, getting full of him. Knowing him intimately and being rightly related with the God of this world and not having another idea that's going to be better and you're going to be strung out on dope. You're going to live like the devil and be depressed. You've chosen to watch pornography all day. Some of you, you've just chosen to whatever, social media, until you're just cuckoo. Well, I mean, not y'all, but some of the people I know. There's got to be a time for him. There's got to be a time where we got to shut things down. We got to turn it off. We got to shut him down. Shut it down. He's got something for you, each one of you. He had something for me. But what he had for me was impossible. To be here today was totally impossible in the situation I lived on a ranch where there was nothing but just rocks and we had no money to do anything with. This was impossible. To build the buildings over there that Don and I built before Tim came and foo-fooed everything and made it nice, you know. Don haywired it together, but my husband, he'd find an old board and we could use that. You know, Tim likes a new board, for which I'm very grateful. For which I'm very, very grateful. God just began to work miracles. He just began to work miracles. I began to be invited to speak all over this country. I flew two or three times a week, and I would get big honorariums. Me and Hillary Clinton, me and other people, big honorariums for your speech. I never quite got $650,000. But I was able to get those honorariums, and even camp had come along until I was able to even pay for my own flight and invested in this ministry. And so I gave everything. When my mother died and I got the final inheritance, I was able to invest it in the church buildings. You see, there's a place that you can come to. And when the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive, a lot of people can't understand that because I don't have anything to give. I just started giving what I had. I just started giving what I had. And I wasn't limited to money. I had encouragement. I had faith to impart. See, today I want to impart something into you. I just don't want to preach at you and hit you over the head with my Bible. I want to impart something to you. I want to get down on the inside of you. Every kid, every man, every woman. I want us to be a church that can be empowered so that the supernatural things that the Holy Spirit will bring can happen. Now, sitting in this building, you are sitting in a miracle. And God has provided for us a future. Look at the potential. Look at the potential. See, that's what he did. He provided the ranch for us, and it's full of rocks and trees and briars and bushes and no water, no nothing. But he provided for us a potential. And that's what he did. He gave us the earth and he said, now you go steward over it. Now you take care of it. He will provide you the potential. Well, I don't see what it is. Well, you're not blind. You're not in a wheelchair. You got to find the potential. There's a potential within every person that's here. And it may be to lead somebody to Jesus at Walmart. It could be. That's my second family, you know. It may be next door. It may be your children to invest. It may be we think it's writing a book or standing up on a stage. Being up here, well, y'all know I haven't been up here in years. But being up here is not where it's happening. I try to catch you back there if I can. I try to connect somehow and touch you. Oh, applied life. Oh, applied life. What a privilege to be with young people who have chosen to give this time to be equipped, motivated, and inspired. To open yourself up for God to do what you could never do. Never. You can never do it. What's happened here, I could never do. Not ever. Not ever. I was thinking about the banker we went to borrow some money. And he said, Hetty, I know you've got this vision of this camp, but I don't see it. And I just can't give you that money. Well, so we went out on the street corner and Don starts crying. I said, honey, it's not over. It is over. He won't give us the money. I said, it's not over. We're going to go up that hill. We're going to see Mr. Nash. We've already borrowed money from him. He's not going to give us any more. the Farmers Home Administration. He's not going to give us any more. I said, well, we're going to go see. Now, we're just going to go see. That's where I feel led to go. Let's go up there. We walked in. Mr. Nash, we're here to borrow money. Well, he said, what do you want to do with it? Well, I want to build a camp. I want to do something. And I want to build a camp at Brook Hill Ranch. And he said, oh, today, this morning, before you came, I got from the government our ability now to loan farm recreational loans to people. And I can loan you up to $50,000. How much do you want? Now, it would take a book to fill the miracles. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And that's what this church is. Jeff Jeans and I would pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. He'd pray for a wife. And I'd pray that they'd come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Jeff's wife. And I was thinking about how all the village, precious village people, God's drawn you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thought about God's faithfulness to hear us. Here's our problem, church, is that waiting, we lose our faith. It's in waiting that doubt and unbelief. Well, when is this going to happen for me? Well, when is this going to happen? It's in waiting. If God put you in a holding pen, are you kidding? If we'd had all this to do, there's no way. There's no way I could have done it. But we moved one rock at a time. We did it one thing at a time. This place that you're in is a habitation for the presence of the Lord. And to every one of you who have invested, for every one of you who have put your money, who have given, we all are so blessed by your generosity and your love for us. You know, I do my best not to take one thing for granted. Don't take one thing for granted. Nothing that anybody does. I don't want to take the sound people for granted. I don't want to take the musicians. I don't want to take that guitar for granted. I don't want to take those lights. I don't want to take anything for granted. I'm grateful. I am so grateful. I am so thankful. You know, David in the Bible, David, he had such a heart to build a place for God. It hurt him that the Ark of the Covenant was out in a tent. He said, I live in this nice house, and the presence of God is out there in a tent. So he really wanted to build a temple, a dwelling place, a place where we could come. And I thought about, we're shouting and raising our hands and doing all that. And I'm sure if you're new here, you might think, well, I don't care for that. Well, I understand that. But if we were doing it for you, if we were shouting and screaming and clapping for you, see, how does God feel? I think he likes it. I do. I think he likes us being enthused about being thankful and worshiping him and responding to his goodness to us and our love for him. Well, David wanted to build a temple, but he had blood on his hands from being an army guy, a fighter. And anyway, God said, no, your son Solomon's going to do this. So I'm in 1 Chronicles. And I'm in the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Now, that's in the Old Testament. Go back. Some of you have got those little machines. You just go dot, dot, dot. But I will say this, and I don't care if you get mad at me. I don't care. When you're 86, you get to say whatever you want to. And so I don't care. When you carry a Bible everybody knows what it is. And I'm identified because I carry my Bible. When you got one of those little machines, isn't there porno? Can't you get porno in those machines? I don't know about them. Can you? You can? Nasty. I just knew y'all would like that. I just knew you would like that. David summons the officials. This is 1 Chronicles 28. He summoned the officials. And he said, I'm going to skip all that because it's so time. Verse 8. So, and he's telling about the temple. He said, now with God as our witness and I in the sight of Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give to you, he's talking to Solomon, be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. Now that's scary, but that's what it says. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. You know, I see kids in our Christian school. And just because you're in a Christian school is no guarantee we're going to have these spiritual giants. They're going to have help from all of us, from mother and from daddy and from children's pastors and youth pastors. And that's no guarantee, because there are kids that don't take the Word of God seriously. I take it seriously, very seriously. I take it very seriously. The Lord has chosen you, Solomon, to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. I was thinking about God's choosing our kids to do what he chooses them to do. Choosing people to work out in the world and make all that money that so many of you have given. Hey, this thing's expensive. It's very, very expensive. And to hear Tim say we don't owe a dime, that just makes me want to come into 1,000 pieces to think about the people who want to build a place for God, who want to build a place where his name could be planted and exalted, a place that's totally dedicated to him. I said, you know, we won't be roller skating in here. And then I said, well, if we do, it's going to be holy roller skating. It's all for him. Everything is all given for him. Verse 20, then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. Can you believe we don't owe a penny on this facility? Now, I'm talking about, you can't understand. I'm doing everything I can to draw the picture. You can't understand. We moved from my living room over to the camp pavilion. In the wintertime, Don wouldn't let us try to seal it up. My husband, you know, my husband was wonderful. And but we had these little heaters that came right up. They burned you on the top of your head and your feet froze. And we wore long handle underwear every Sunday. We wore long handle underwear and big coats and all that. And that's what we did for 7 years. 7 years we were there. Now, I want to read you a list of the people. We're out here on these concrete floors, wind blowing through the shutters, these little things overhead, and us. It's very modest, to say the least. And these are the speakers that God brought to us. John Osteen and Dodie. I knew Joel before he ever was. John Osteen's ridden go-karts up and down the hill at Brookhill. Jerry Savelle, Kenneth Copeland, George Otis, Pat Boone, Vicki Jameson, Charleston Peggy Capps, Andre Crouch, the Mill Hollands from Belize, David and Cheryl Barton, Paul, the list goes on, of now television speakers. Famous people came to Brookhill. I don't know how. I don't know how. Today it's all about an impartation. When I was so compelled that I don't care how cold we were, we're going to do it. I don't care what meager things we had, we're going to do it. It doesn't matter. We've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. We've got the truth. We've got the Word of God. We've got the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit operating in us. I didn't care about any of that. And you know what? They came and they didn't care either. I said, God, we won't have any Sunday school or children's ministry or youth ministry till you raise up somebody. Let me tell y'all something. I am not going to serve God and begrudge. Oh, they just have had, I'm the only one that teaches Sunday school class. I already grew up in that kind of church. I'm the only one. Everybody felt so sorry for themselves for the way they had to serve God. And I've been teaching Sunday school for 4 years, and I told them I need a replacement, and they won't get a replacement. Are you kidding? You got four kids in your Sunday school class? One's going to be the President of the United States. One's going to be Billy Graham. One's going to be an entrepreneur who brings in millions of dollars to the church. It's not numbers. It's who. And everyone is a who. And I'm after who's in this church. That's the reason I fight. When I see the devil trying to gobble up our people in our church, man, I go to fighting. And I fight in the spirit. You can't have them. You cannot have them. They've got the Word of God in them, and you cannot have them. Because let me tell you something. If we just lay down and let the devil take our kids, because they're gospel hardened, and they've never known. They got with the wrong crowd, and they got tempted, and they're out there in the world, and they blah, 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 blah. Do you know that's one less gift that has been given to the body of Christ to help this thing work? I value every person, every gift. And that's why we've got to develop our gifts. It's not about me. It's about what he wanted to do. I'm too stupid. I mean, I don't mean to say that what God created is stupid, but I'm not real smart, however you want to say that. But I'm like our new president. Do y'all know we have a new president? Yeah. I'm like our new president. Some of you didn't clap, but that's okay. I'm like our new president. I don't know how to do it, but I know how to get the ones that do. See, God's always brought me the people that could do it. People have surrounded Tim with the people that can do it. Look at this church, how gifted, how full of talent. I love y'all so much. I am so grateful for y'all. And you know what God showed me 44 years ago has still come to pass. We don't beg people to do, well, now after Thanksgiving, we got to clean up everything. Would you be on the committee? No, I can't. Well, would you be on the committee? No, I can't. We don't have committees. We say, the body of Christ, this is what needs to be done. Brother, they clean that thing up. I've never seen anything like how this church functions. I am so grateful. I am truly so grateful for the miraculous heart of God that is in this place. Because I do not hear you griping that you have to do what you have to do. Now, some of you may gripe, but don't you dare let me hear it. What a privilege to do whatever we do as unto the Lord. What a privilege to serve the living God. Have people, let me do that. Oh, let me do that. Well, I can do that. I mean, Christmas is coming. People down here just putting it up for me. They're standing on their head, hanging and doing for me. They're doing all that for me. Now, I thought I was going to have to sit on the floor last Sunday because I really hadn't given my chair money. And I thought, if Tim finds that out, he will make me sit on the floor. So I quickly got my chair money in. So I've got me a chair now. It's amazing, isn't it? I see the chairs back there. I think that's what that is. I think that's what that is. David had a heart. He just wanted to do this, and he had a heart to do it, and he wanted to say, guess what God's called me to do? I got to build a temple. I got to gather all this material. Do you know how much that's going to be? Do you know how much he's going to make me do? I'm telling you, I have lived to see my heart's desire. People that love, women come clean my house. Good gracious. Now don't y'all come because you'd faint and you might catch something. You know, I mean, I'm not a housekeeper, but he sends me, you know, ever so often just so the health department doesn't close me down. Look at chapter 29. Oh dear. Chapter 29, verse 3. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, this is David. I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help the construction. You know, Tim has been blessed to have another job. And I've never seen anything like how he and Terry love to give. Well, I have. I love to give like that. You love to give like that. He said, I'm giving my own. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from and all that and refined silver to overlay the walls and for all this. And then he says, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders and the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army and the king's administration officers, all gave willingly for the construction of the temple of God. And then it tells all the tons of stuff they gave. And then this is how they felt about it. Do you know how much I gave? Oh, wow, I don't know whether we have anything to eat this week or not. Here's what they said, verse 9. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. And look at his prayer in the 10th next verse. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength at your discretion, at your compelling, at your work of the Spirit in their heart. Verse 16, O Lord our God, even this material we've gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I've done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. Now I'm going to tie this up and tell you how this was really laid on my heart. Look at Luke, the 14th chapter, Luke, the 14th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, over in the New Testament. Punch a button. Okay. 14th chapter, 23rd. Where is that? Oh, I'm in Romans. It'd be better if I go to Luke. If I had a button to push, I wouldn't be like that. Luke, the 14th chapter. Okay, here it is. 16. Jesus was telling this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he said, servants, tell the guests, come on, you guys, I'm ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field. Now I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another one said, I have a wife, so I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still more room. So his master said, go out in the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge. Now that word in King James Version is compel. And urge everyone you find to come so that the house be full. For none of those that I first invited will get even the smallest taste of the banquet. Now one more quickly. Turn back to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And here's what he said, and this scripture absolutely breaks me up. Verse 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Now, I don't know whether you take that seriously or not, but I do. I take that very, very seriously. I think he means what he says. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, oh, I went to a Christian school. Oh, I went to Applied Life. Oh, I was in church every time the doors opened. Oh, I was raised in church. Oh, I've read the Bible. Oh, I've whatever. He said, on judgment day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied your name. We cast out demons. We performed many miracles. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I never knew you. This judgment day, well, with church, I tried to be good. I didn't get in jail. I didn't murder. I didn't steal from people. I was just a good guy. But he says, I never knew you. Now, that's not going to happen to me because he and I have already had a long talk this morning. We had a long one last night. We had a long one the day before. We have long, long talks. And I tell him how much I love him. And if you don't feel special to the Lord, you know, I've tried to make all my kids and my grandkids, I've tried to make them special. Brother, you're special. I try to make everybody in our Christian school, you're special. I try to make every kid that comes, hey, God created, woo, you're special. I try to make everybody special. You are created by God. How much more special can you get than that? I never knew you. If you don't come into his presence, that's what the banquet table. Hey, read Revelation 19th chapter. There's going to be another banquet table. There's going to be the wedding supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a time. The banquet table is not about eating. Yeah, you can eat a hamburger at home. You can eat. It's not about eating. It's about being chosen to be in the presence of the King. It's about being special because you are chosen to have fellowship. Eating is supposed to be about fellowship. Hurry up, Nate, or we're going to be late to school. I mean, you know, we wonder why we got an ulcer and give everybody else one. We've missed the fellowship. The wonderful time of fellowship is we eat together and be together and have this sweet, precious time together. It's about knowing Him. So you know what He did? He said, well, these people, they don't want to be in my presence. They don't need my friendship, my fellowship, and they don't need what I have to offer them. They are not needy. So go out and get the blind, the lame. Go out and get the ones who are needy, who know they need something. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Pharisees and all the big wigs that had it all together. That's who he's talking to, but it applies to us. Now I'm going to end with this story because I'm be close to on time. Not right on time. Y'all would be disappointed. It's not right on time, but close. I tell my grandkids a story about when my daddy bought a place out on Highway 7. He bought the ranch, and then he bought this place on, and he's going to move us from town out there. Well, he had horses, so he brought one of the horses into town and brought a buggy, a wagon. And so when it came time for us to get the horses back out on number 7, we're right down past the junction around the curve. That's where they've torn down now. But that's where I moved to when I was 13. Okay, this old horse had a hard mouth. Now, some of you will know what that means. It means you just pull on him. And it was a horse I was always given to ride, you know. And so you just pull on him, but he wouldn't stop. And he'd just twist his mouth. Okay, my girlfriend and I are in the back of this wagon. And we come through town in the wagon with Brownie coming along. And when we got out to that corner, any of you that know horses, when they get close to that barn, when they get close to home, they're going to take off. And you're going to have to be strong to hold them. Now, Brownie, with this hard mouth, my brother, they were up on this perch seat. My girlfriend and I were hanging our feet off the back. And Brownie started running. I mean, he was in a dead heat. He was running like crazy. And so my brother pulled on the reins, and one of the reins broke. So he just had one rein. So Brownie's head is twisted back and running just as hard as he can. Now we're inside of the house. The turn to get in is a very sharp turn. No way at the speed he's going when he turns the wagon is going to turn over. And we're all going to be killed or beaten up really, really badly. My mother starts screaming at my girlfriend and me, Hetty, jump out! Jump out! Get out! Jump off! Jump out! Well, now we're going fast and woo! And I was paranoid, you know, and I always obeyed mother. It was just like I was being disobedient because I thought, well, do I get killed down there or here? And so I was trying to make that decision. And so she was just screaming her head off. Well, as it happened, Daddy and a whole bunch of men were standing out around the fire they'd built. And they saw Brownie coming. And they knew what was going to happen. So there were 6 or 8 of them got out in the middle of the road before Brownie got there and started waving and everything and got him slowed down. Now, here's the point. This is to finalize all this. Here's the point. My mother was trying to save my life because she knew what was going to happen. And my chances of being saved were going to be better if I would jump off. And she's screaming with everything that is within her. I could just hear this compelling voice of the Holy Spirit when I was so messed up. Jump off, Hetty. Jump off. Jump off. You don't have to worry, Hetty. I'll catch you. I'll catch you. Jump off. Jump off. And I could hear him. I could hear him as I was praying over you this morning. Jump off that wagon of drugs. Jump off that wagon of depression. Jump off that wagon of fear about your finances. Jump off of all those things that are making you paranoid and holding you and making you angry and a mean old daddy and you're no fun to be with. Now, there's a difference between being a mean daddy and a strong daddy that disciplines his kids. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jump off that wagon of depression. You know, today, as I wanted to impart something to you, impart. That's different than you. Oh, yeah, well, these are the scriptures. No, impart. Something that changes you. Something that motivates you. Something that says, you know what? I can do this better. I can do this. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to live like this. And the compelling word, the Apostle Paul said, I was compelled by the Spirit of God to go to the next town that God, I was compelled. I'm pushed, I'm shoved by God. God is trying to rescue his children. He's trying to say to the kids in school, don't be jealous of the other kids. Don't have that competition and be like the world. Don't be in a church and be like the unbeliever. Don't be in applied life and live like everybody else does. Don't go and be depressed the whole time you're there. Now, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, in compelling you to a new place today, here's what he'll do for you. Probably the biggest thing that's happened in my family, one of them. One of the biggest things is that we can do routine things over and over and over. And I was at camp 35 or 40 years every day. Over, I'm doing another women's seminar for 40 years, another one. Do you know what happens with people who live routine lives? Everything shuts down. It gets less and less and less. Well, it's not as good. I listen to hear at every seminar, this was the best one. I listen to hear every time, this is the best. What we're doing now, this is the best. Now, this is the best thing that we've done. This is the best, Pat. I live with Pat. This is the best. This is the best. You can live a life, and here's what'll happen. I've already done that. I've done that. Well, I've already done that. I've done that. Kids grow slow. I change their diaper. I fed them. It's another meal. It's another something. It's another day. I go to work again today. I go, there is a place of compelling by the Spirit of God that will change every day. And every day won't be another boring day. There would be new life for every day. He has supernaturally given Tim the ability to preach again. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday night. It's Wednesday night. It's camp again. It's applied life coming again. It's the men's seminar again. It's again. We've been doing it for 44, the church is 44 years old. We've been doing it for years. Camp is 52 years old. People give up. Churches are sitting empty all over everywhere because nobody has that ability. It's supernatural. He makes all things new. He makes all things fresh. He makes all things so that you can go again. You can do it again. Only this time, it'll be better than yesterday. Today will be better than yesterday. And tomorrow, it's exciting just to think about it. There's a new place for the church and for the body of Christ. It's a new place for us where the Holy Spirit compels us. I didn't have a choice about camp. I haven't had a choice about the church, starting the church. I haven't had a choice about women's seminars. There's so many things. I don't have a choice about being involved in politics. I don't have a choice. It's my responsibility. And I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to do this. And those whom He compels, He energizes. I keep myself energized in the Word of God. I keep myself energized in my prayer life. I keep everything prayed up. And I want you to know something. These empty seats we're seeing, they're our responsibility. It's not about empty seats. It's about bringing people what we've got to offer. Love and joy. Peace. Generosity. We love to give. Oh, thank you, givers. Thank you, Christian ministries. Thank you. You are the church that I dreamed about. Isn't there a place where people can love each other and not gripe all the time? Isn't there a church where you don't have to go to board meetings and talk about what you ought to do and never do it? Isn't there a place where people have an intimate relationship? May He say to you on that final day, oh, you're finally here. Oh, Hetty, you and I've had such a good time all those years you were on earth. Now, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. May He know you. May He say, you come on in, I've been waiting for you. All these years that we've been talking and connecting and loving each other, and you've been letting me lead you. The Holy Spirit's chilling. Jump off. You hadn't been the father you want to be. Jump off of what you can't be. Jump off of that wagon. It's taking you nowhere. The lies, the deceit are taking you to crashing. Jump off. My arms are open. I'll catch you. And I will do in you and through you what you could never do. Thus saith the Lord. Let's stand. I'm going to pray over you and I want you to receive. I don't want you to be a dud. How's your life? Well, I just go to work every day. What's happening to you? Well, they're just putting so much on me. I'm tired. Do you know if there's anything I hear all the time is how tired everybody is? If you put those clicking down, you're worn out clicking. Come on, church, be wise. Use it discreetly. Let's be wise. Check yourself out. If you don't have a spring in your step and joy in your heart, for goodness sakes, find out why. Don't accept it as something that you can never, ever see changed. Jump off the wagon. He will catch you and compel you and call you to have a life that makes a difference. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these precious people who have given so much to build a sanctuary, a habitation for you to dwell in, a place that nobody can pass without knowing this is about you and who you are. Father, we thank you that you bring people from the north, the south, and the east, and the west for us to help their children grow, for us to keep on keeping on. Father, I declare in Jesus' name that the controlling enemy spirits that have made life boring and mundane and routine, I break them off of your people in Jesus' name. We thank you for another day, and we will not waste it by it being mundane and boring. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to realize that we are the boring ones, not all the beautiful world you've given us. So draw us up out of that apathy and carelessness that we've had, letting one day after another go by and not seeing our divine appointments and experience the compelling, wooing voice of the Holy Spirit that has taken us to a new place. Bless your people. Empower them. Strengthen them. And may this week, may we just answer the compulsion of the Holy Spirit to speak to that person, to call that person, to pray, to make sure, Father, we pray for our new president and vice president, wisdom for all the cabinet people that will be appointed. Wisdom, God, wisdom, surround our new president, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence. Now, Father, we yield ourselves to you. Woo us and compel us and energize us, and may we bless the world with our life before we stand before you and say, come on in, I know you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.